You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, local and state officials said yesterday, and they called for the removal of thousands of lead water pipes across the state to address high levels of lead contamination found among children in Milwaukee and elsewhere. We'll talk with an investigative reporter about the plan and what it could cost.
First, for most of us, the word school might bring to mind a teacher, blackboard, rows of students at their desks. In other words, your typical classroom.
A new generation of educators and entrepreneurs are trying to come up with innovative ways to teach and to learn. The work of several of these education innovators is highlighted on a new television series called TED Talks, Education Revolution. It premieres Tuesday on PBS as part of its Spotlight Education Week.
Educator and social entrepreneur Sal Khan is featured in that series. He's an educator and social entrepreneur, founder and CEO of Khan Academy, a nonprofit free online education platform offering software, tutorials, and video lessons on academic subjects from kindergarten through college. He joins us now. Sal, welcome to Central Time.
Great to be here.
Well, can you tell us about the humble origins of this, what's now a big name, the Khan Academy?
Yeah, it was in 2004. My day job, I was an analyst at an investment firm. My original background was in technology, and my 12-year-old cousin, she was 12 at the time, was having trouble with math. I offered to tutor her just over the phone, and we used Instant Messenger because she was in New Orleans. I was in Boston at the time. That worked out well. Then I started working with her younger brothers. Word got around the family, free tutoring was going on. I soon found myself working with 10, 15 cousins, family, friends all over the country. And I started writing some software for them so that they could get practice, really fill in their gaps. And a friend suggested that I make videos to supplement that software. And those videos kind of took on a life of their own. My cousins famously said they liked me better on YouTube than in person. It soon became clear people who weren't my cousins started watching. And one thing led to another. I set it up as a not-for-profit in 2008. And, you know, today, as you mentioned, Khan Academy, we have over 42 million registered users. It's all free. We're not-for-profit. It's videos. It's exercises where you've been used inside and outside of classroom. We're translating to the major languages of the world.
Before we talk about innovation more generally, let's look at what you're doing at the Khan Academy a little more. The idea here isn't we're replacing all schooling with these videos, right? This is a supplement that teachers, students, homeschoolers, whoever could use, right?
Well, it could be a supplement or it could be a primary resource. But even as a primary resource, we never imagined that it was somehow a virtual tool should replace a physical classroom. It's not like a Amazon.com versus Barnes & Noble thing. What we imagine is if students can get on-demand explanations from their phone or from a computer, if they can get practice problems, especially ones that give them immediate feedback that adapt to their needs, that it really frees up the class for more human interaction, where a teacher can better differentiate instruction. They can take some students aside and do a more focused intervention. They can see that, okay, all my students have learned this concept. Now I can do a project on it or maybe a Socratic dialogue on it. So we view it as if you're a part of the world where you don't have access to a school, you know, say you're in a village in rural India, well, if you have access to a low-cost smartphone, you should be able to self-educate yourself through Khan Academy. But if you're in Wisconsin and you do have access to a school, that we can supercharge what happens in that school so that it empowers the teachers and the students. And, of course, can be used by two students on their own if they're having trouble understanding what their textbook is saying or reviewing something that was covered in class. Khan Academy can be a great place for them.
As we mentioned, you're featured in an upcoming PBS series on innovation in education. Do you think that there's a lot more room, that we're just sort of scratching the surface of available technology that could revolutionize the way we teach?
Oh, yeah. I think we're just at the very beginning right now. You know, we've had the last education revolution was about 200 years ago when we had the introduction of mass public education, which was a major education revolution. It really should be listed up there with, you know, the printing press and the invention of writing in terms of transforming humanity. You know, 300-400 years ago, it was not, you know, literacy rates were in the 20% or so range globally, even in wealthier parts of the world. And now in middle-income countries, they're approaching 100% literacy, and hopefully we get that for the rest of the world. What's interesting now is we have a chance with technology of revisiting some assumptions that we first made 200 years ago when we first did mass public education. In order to be able to reach everyone, we put 30 students together in a classroom. We move them all together at a set pace. The best that the instructor can do is kind of a one-pace-fits-all, give a lecture. It might be too slow for some students. It might leave some students behind, but there's not much you can do. But now with technology, we actually can start to differentiate for all the students, let the content be more personalized, and free up the teacher and free up the students for more interaction with each other.
I wonder, how do we measure the impact of new innovations so that we know we're not just, you know, throwing innovations in for innovation's sake, that we're actually getting some bang for our buck?
Well, I think the first important thing about some of the new innovations we're talking about is that we can actually measure them for the first time. Today, if we think about, you know, the current primary resource in classrooms, the textbook, no one has any idea on whether people are using it, how much they're using it. The textbook publisher doesn't know which pages are effective, which ones aren't. When they publish version 2 versus version 1, they have no idea whether it's actually better. Teachers don't know which items are being used and how. And so when you start moving to some of these digital platforms at a very baseline, you can even start saying, okay, well, that's being used in this way. The content creators can say, okay, let me try the second version and see if it leads to more engagement or whether the students are more likely to answer the questions right. You can immediately give more feedback and data to students as well. But, you know, we've also started doing efficacy studies in classrooms. You know, we did a pretty deep one in Idaho where we saw that time spent on a platform like Khan Academy led to much more than expected gains for students, more than you would even expect. You know, you'd expect a strong student to get even stronger, et cetera. But on average, we saw about 1.8 times the learning in a year that you would expect to see. Khan Academy right now, we're the official prep for the SAT, and we're working very closely with the College Board on understanding what typical gains are from, say, the PSAT in 10th grade to the SAT in 12th grade, and what the gains are when the students are using the personalized learning platform.
Talking to Sal Khan of the Khan Academy, he's the founder and CEO there, talking about innovation in education. He and others will be featured on a PBS series kicking off next Tuesday called TED Talks Education Revolution. Sal, we have a problem in Wisconsin, pretty widely acknowledged, educational achievement gaps, especially between white and black students, wealthier and poorer students. How do we make sure that new innovations don't just help the people who are already doing pretty well do even better, and that they reach the people who need them the most?
Yeah, this is a central question for us. And, you know, we see it as two issues. There's kind of an awareness issue, and then there's an accessibility issue. The accessibility issue is maybe the harder one, where, you know, the 30% of families in the U.S. who don't have access to broadband are disproportionately in lower income and underrepresented minority communities. So we can't. We're as a small organization, we're not directly playing the role of how do we get access. But we talk to folks like Google and Comcast and the FCC, and we say, look, this is a major reason why you need to get more access for more students. The good thing is things like cell phone penetration is quite high. And broadband through things like cell phones. And so that's why we're trying to make a lot of our work accessible through things like mobile devices. On things like the SAT, this is a big priority for both us and College Board. So we partnered with a lot of after-school programs, Boys and Girls Club, to make sure that there's access. A lot of it is just awareness. Folks who might listen to National Public Radio or 60 Minutes or pay attention to things in the tech sector might know about things like Khan Academy, but a lot more folks don't. So how do we get awareness that this is all free? It's not for profit. It's all non-commercial. It's free tutoring for your child. It's a free textbook for your classroom. How do we get the word out there? And I don't want to pretend that by itself is going to fix the problem. A lot of what you just talked about are problems beyond the scope of, you know, just Khan Academy or just the education sector. There are issues of, you know, broader issues of poverty and inequity.
What kind of things do you hear from teachers who have maybe had experience using material from the Khan Academy?
Yeah, you know, we have over a million teachers using us in different ways. Some of them will just write our web address, you know, khanacademy.org on the chalkboard at the beginning of the school year and say, hey, if you ever get stuck or need any help, this is a pretty good resource for you. While at the other end of the spectrum, some teachers are using us as a primary resource where the students are going through the material, doing the exercise. The teachers are getting a daily feedback on where the students are, and they're using that data to, instead of kind of a one pace for everyone, say, okay, those students are progressing, let them continue to progress. These students are having a little bit of trouble on negative numbers. Let me do a very focused intervention with them. Or all of my class is now ready for ratio, so I can do a class project with them. And so they've moved their classroom to this more, I would say, kind of interactive, personalized model.
I want to bring on a caller. We've got Tom on the line in Madison. Tom, hi.
Good afternoon. It's an honor to speak with the founder of the Khan Academy. I work for the Wisconsin Department of Corrections, and I wanted you to just be aware we are going to be testing a device shortly, that's called Rachel, the Remote Area Community Hotspots for Education and Learning, which provides an offline learning environment. And the Khan Academy Lite is included in that content. And from what we've seen so far, we believe this is really going to ramp up and transform our education offerings and lead to great benefits for those who are incarcerated who sorely need greater educational achievement.
Tom, I want to jump in and give Sal a chance to respond as we're almost out of time, not just in the schools, but now in Wisconsin, anyway, in our correctional facilities.
Yeah, I mean, we're also really intrigued by this possibility. There's been experiments like this in other states as well. And we're actually hoping that, in prisons, they don't allow internet connection, so there's not communication with the outside. But if we can make versions of Khan Academy, there's a version called KA Lite, but if we can even do ones that are connected to the outside but avoid kind of non-academic communication, I think this is a huge possibility where people could, use that time while they're in prison really productively, possibly get, high school equivalency or college credit. And most importantly, just learn a lot. This is something that could be very exciting. We're also seeing similar things in, kids who are in hospitalized for long periods of time, can't go to traditional school, child athletes. But the prisons in particular are something that's close to our heart.
Sal, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's educator and social entrepreneur Sal Khan, founder of the Khan Academy, a nonprofit free online education platform. He's one of the featured speakers on the TED Talks Education Revolution series, which premieres Tuesday night on Wisconsin Public Television as part of the PBS Spotlight Education Week. Check local listings for airtimes.
Coming up, state and local officials say they hope to remove more than 100,000 lead water pipes across the state to address the danger of lead contamination in children. An investigative reporter provides details. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferrett. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.